looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, MGM Springfield, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Mentioned he's on a pace to drive in over 100 runs. That one smoked. High and deep to right center toward the triangle. Back to the bullpen. It is gone.
Well, that home run by Andrew Benintendi last night, the latest by the Red Sox, and another victory over an absolute doormat of an opponent in the American League. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll take your calls up until 7 o'clock, at which point we'll turn it over to Adam Jones. And let me just tell you quickly, if there is any more developing news on the Julian Edelman story, and for those of you unaware, Julian Edelman today was reported facing a suspension for 4 games by the National Football League for use of performance enhancers. He has appealed that decision, where obviously he and the league, or the Patriots rather, awaiting the decision of that appeal, so the suspension is not final. Nonetheless, Edelman facing a 4-game suspension. Mark Bertrand, our own Mark Bertrand here at 98.5 of the Zolak and Bertrand Midday Show, tweeted a short time ago that statements are expected here this evening from Edelman and from Alex Guerrero, his trainer, who obviously gets sucked into this story given his controversial past, the TB12 method, all of that. If and when those statements are released, we will have them for you here on the Baseball Reporters up until 7 o'clock. Again, 617-779-0985 is your number. We had a discussion on Dave Dombrowski last night, which I want to get to, or I want to continue. But first, what you heard there was a home run by Andrew Benintendi. Red Sox beat the Tigers last night 7-1. 7-1. And so, again, I would love to talk about the specifics of these games and the Red Sox ability to get key outs in the late innings from certain relievers. Matt Barnes struggled last night, or whether or not the starting pitching can really hold up, all of that stuff. I just don't know how you do it when they're playing doormats every single night. Really, every single night. Here is, you know what the Red Sox record is against, and let me rattle them off for you: Miami, Baltimore, Tampa, Toronto, Detroit, Texas, and Kansas City. Those 7 teams. You know what the Red Sox record is against them?
I'm sure it's only a handful of losses, if that.
30-9. 30-9. That is better than a .750 winning percentage of Major League Baseball. Now, the other teams they played, and I didn't include the Angels, Murray. They're 3-0 against the Angels. I give them credit for that series. Okay, that series against the Angels earlier in the year, Angels were playing good ball. I'm not going to hold that one against the Red Sox, but these teams, these rosters, Miami, Baltimore, Tampa, Toronto, Detroit, Texas, KC, those teams, tell me what players on those teams you would really want to see. Manny Machado, maybe? It's a guy I'd like to see. I'm not sure I want to see Miguel Cabrera anymore. Kansas City's one of the worst teams in the game. This Detroit roster sucks. Who's the pitcher for Detroit tonight? Anybody know? Can someone tell me?
Wasn't he the guy that they got for Cespedes?
Matthew Boyd.
So that's a no.
Who's Matthew Boyd? I think he's like a 27.
The pitcher tonight?
He's like a 27-year-old lefty. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
How about the guy last night? Had you ever heard of him?
I haven't heard of any of these.
Okay, or the guy, Lewicki. Whatever his first name.
Artie Lewicki.
Artie Lewicki in the first game. Have you ever heard of him?
President Clinton, right?
Have you ever heard of him? That's Lewinsky, Jimmy.
Oh.
That's Monica Lewinsky. So, again, I would tell you that these opponents are a joke. I'm sorry, they are. They're a joke. And it's hard for me to sort of get into the real nitty-gritty of the games when the Red Sox are playing joke opponents every night. Nonetheless, Benintendi did hit one into the bullpen last night, the far end of the bullpen, out close by the 420-foot marker. And that, if you are a believer in Andrew Benintendi, is a good sign. Xander Bogaerts hit one to the same area the night before. That's a tough spot to hit. Lefty or righty. You're talking about a 400-foot home run there. And on a night where it wasn't exactly 90 degrees. So
it's also encouraging to see Benintendi do that against lefties, who he struggled at, against for most of this season. But just real quick, as an aside, and I said this to you before we even started the afternoon show today, like, is it okay that I say I'm bored? Like, I'm bored with the competition, like, and who they're playing. Some of these games, after that Benintendi home run into the bullpen last time, I'm like, I'm good. I'm going to switch over to the finals now. Like, there's no pushback. I want to see more entertaining games.
Well, so Murray, as I've said before, Major League Baseball has a competition problem. Okay, there's a competition problem. Unfortunately, in your case last night, the NBA has a competition problem too. But that's another story for another day or a different show. And you know how you know there is a competition problem in Major League Baseball? Listen to this lineup that the Red Sox are putting on the field tonight against the Detroit Tigers. Behind a rookie who's never pitched in a big league game. I mean, this blows me away. Honestly, this lineup for the Red Sox tonight blows me away. Usually a kid comes up from the minor leagues to make his major league debut, and you put a team behind him that you say, well, they'll help the kid out. He'll be nervous. He might walk some guys. Or we'll give him a veteran catcher to sort of hold his hand, lead him through it. Or we'll give him good defense on the left side because there are going to be a lot of right-handed batters. So we got to make sure, you know, if there were ground balls over there, that we get good defense at the very least. We're going to help the kid out as much as we can. I don't know if we'll hit. You never know what's going to happen there. But nonetheless, we'll give him good defense. We'll give him a veteran catcher. We'll give him all that stuff to hold his hand and lead him through it. Not the Red Sox. Not against the Tigers, and I'm willing to bet they win the game, and they probably win it going away. Here's your lineup tonight against Detroit, and what's his name again? Matthew Boyd, left-hander Matthew Boyd. Leading off, Benintendi, center field, Bogart, shortstop. So far, so good. Right field, J.D. Martinez. Right field, not left field, right field. Spacious right field at Fenway Park, J.D. Martinez. If I'm the Tigers and I hit the ball in the air, I'm aiming that way. First base, Mitch Moreland. Again, nothing unusual there. Second base, Eduardo Nunez. Made a hell of a play on a line drive last night, but if I'm them and I hit it on the ground, I hit it that way. Hit it towards Nunez on the ground. Hit it towards J.D. Martinez in the air. Or left field, Sam Travis. Sam Travis! First baseman playing left field. So Martinez is playing right because the Red Sox know that Travis is worse. Worse than Martinez, so he'll be in left field. Devers is at third. You don't need me to explain to you what type of adventure he's been on the left side this year. Christian Vasquez is in the lineup, so there's your veteran catcher. Oh, no, wait a minute. Vasquez tonight is your DH. Christian Vasquez. What's his batting average now, by the way? Can one of you guys tell me that? Just quickly, Christian Vasquez. Is he 200? Is he under 200? I'm not sure he's over
200. He went 3-for-4 last night. So.
Whoop-de-doo. I think he hit a ball off the wall. Is his
hitting 203 this year.
203, okay, so that's what it is. Once he gets over 200.
OPS of 532.
There you go, that's what it is. Once you get over 200, apparently you're allowed to DH. So I'm surprised Jackie Bradley's not in the lineup as the DH tonight. In any case, it's Vasquez because catching with a pitcher making his major league debut is Blake Swihart. Blake Swihart, whom the Red Sox have avoided catching all year long. Tonight, they put him behind the plate with a rookie on the mound. Now, I'm guessing, and I've tried to look this up, but I haven't seen it, but I'm assuming Swihart has caught Beeks down at AAA. So that's probably some of the logic and the idea of making Beeks comfortable. Except that now, Swihart is finally catching in a game after you've avoided him all year long, so now it feels to me like there's pressure on him to catch well, and there's certainly pressure on Beeks to pitch well. I just think it's an interesting battery decision. When you weigh it all out, Martinez in right, Nunez at second, Travis in left field, Devers at third base, Swihart behind the plate with a rookie making his major league debut on the mound. That, my friends, is a spring training lineup. That's what that is. It's a spring training lineup. And I would normally sit here and say, what the hell is Alex Cora thinking tonight? What's he thinking? Except, you know what? The Tigers stink. And I bet the Red Sox will come out with a win with it regardless. 617-779-0985. I want to get back to Dave Dombrowski too, but first, a couple of your calls. Mike is in Manchester, New Hampshire, and I think he's irritated. What do you want, Mike?
Mike. Raz, I have to ask. You've been going on for months about the Red Sox schedule. You've been going on for months about it. The other day you were like, we're at the one-third mark. This is where you can actually start to say, yep, I think that the team is actually this good. They're 3-3 and 2-2 against the two best teams in the American League, which means that those two teams, who are the two best teams, the other two best teams in the American League, are 3-3 against the Red Sox.
I don't blame you for being agitated, okay? And with regard to the Yankees and the Astros, you're right. They've played them even. They've played them even. Let me just ask, I'm not disputing that. You make a lot of good points, and you have a right to be annoyed with me, okay? But let me ask you an honest question. Do you really feel, when you watch a game like last night or the night before, do you really feel there's any chance they're going to lose?
No, it's my perspective of it is they're beating the teams that they should beat. And some of the teams they should smoke, and they're smoking them. And then they're losing close games to the good teams, and then they're getting smoked by the good teams, and then they're smoking the good teams. So in terms of the competition, yeah, what are there, five teams in the American League that I really have to worry about? But they're beating the teams that they're supposed to beat.
Okay, again,
I mean, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. The competitive teams are competitive.
Okay,
I don't care if they get a pitching, if it's a softball, beer league score, and it's 13-14 at the end of the night. I don't care. If it's a win, it's a win. But how long are we going to go with the same rhetoric? I mean, are we going to be a game 120 and you're going to be like, well, there's 62 games above 500, but I'm still kind of,
Okay, so again, Mike, you're 100% correct. And if it sounds like I'm killing the Red Sox for it, they can only play who the opposition puts on the field. This is why, though, I say that Major League Baseball has a competition problem. There's a competition problem. Really. I mean, again, I like good competition. I'm happy the Red Sox are winning a lot of games, if you take that separately. I just don't know how seriously really to take them yet, because overall, boy, these teams are bad that they're playing. They really are. Miami, Baltimore, Tampa, Toronto, Detroit, Texas, KC. 30-9 against those teams. And honestly, I don't even think that does it justice. Watching a game like last night, there's no uncertainty in it at all for me, because I know the Red Sox are going to win the game. I do. I know they're going to win it. I never feel like they're being threatened or challenged. And I don't know how that necessarily is going to make them better in the long run. It's not their fault that the other teams in the league stink. But I have a hard time celebrating a win over Detroit. That's all. Now, look, they're winning the games they should win. You make a good point. But are we really going to learn anything about Matt Barnes in a game last night? All we're going to learn about Matt Barnes is something bad if he can't get out the key people on the Tigers and he can't throw strikes against the Tigers. So to me, I just have a hard part evaluating them as a championship contender against the Detroit Tigers. I have a hard time with that. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with your calls. And I do want to get back to Dave Dombrowski. And my simple question for you is this. Do you believe in Dave Dombrowski and his methods? Or, like me, did you look at the Red Sox the last two nights, or look at the Tigers the last two nights, and fear that they are going to become, or that they represent what the Red Sox might become? Okay, I'll explain that better when we come back.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What is he doing? That had to have been some of the worst base running I have ever seen. What was he thinking?
It's time for the Baseball Reporter's base running blunders.
JD hitting .318, 20 homers, 52 runs batted in, the Major League home run leader. He is putting together a special year. And that one is tagged. Driven toward the monster seats and high off the monster. He wants second. Jones up and throwing. Going to be a play there. He slides and he's out. Cut down on a toss by Jones from left.
It just wouldn't be a Red Sox team without another base running mistake. In this case, I admit. Two outs, JD Martinez hits a rocket, an absolute rocket off the top of the wall. Could have been a home run in any other ballpark. He gets thrown out. It's not as egregious as some of the other mistakes. He's trying to get himself in a scoring position with two outs, all of that. Nonetheless, another base running blunder by the Red Sox last night. They'll play the finale against the Tigers tonight. I think the Red Sox are something like 16-3 in series finales. That includes good teams, of which there are a precious few in the American League. So I like their chances against the Tigers tonight, even with Jalen Beeks in the spring training lineup behind them. Nonetheless, after this series, the Red Sox will get some real competition. Oh, right. No, that's wrong. The White Sox come in. They stink. They're 20-40, last place in the Central. But after that, the next series, the Red Sox will get some competition. Oh, no, that's right. That one's against Baltimore. They're last place in the American League East. It is the March of the Tomato Cans, the 2018 season for the Red Sox. It really is. The March of the Tomato Cans. Baseball has a major competition problem. Back to your calls. Matt is in Sharon. What do you got, Matt?
Well, first things first, I actually feel terrible for the guy that they're throwing out there tonight. Like, geez, that whole left side is going to be so open. It's going to have a welcome mat on it between Travis and Devers.
Matt, I'll tell you, don't hang up, but just for people who might have just tuned in and don't know what I'm talking about. The lineup tonight, it's not the bats in the lineup, it's the positions. The left side, as you just said, Devers at third and Bogaerts at short, which you always have. But Devers is an adventure at third base. And tonight, Sam Travis is in left and J.D. Martinez is in right. In any case, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just I feel bad for the kid. I mean, I know that he's had great numbers in the minors, but and I know that we're playing the Tigers and we have a competition problem. But, I mean, man, I feel bad for the kid. I'm hoping he can go out there and have a good start, but it's tough to feel like he can go out there confident. I mean, is the team even confident in him, knowing, like, with the lineup that they're throwing out there?
So, Matt, that's a good question. We'll see how Beeks does. And honestly, I'm interested in seeing this kid pitch tonight. I am. He's sort of a guy that came out of the woodwork. He was a 12th-round pick in 2014. He has blossomed, and I was reading up on him a little bit yesterday. He's changed his whole repertoire, really. And so, what is it, Jim? Oh, I'm sorry. So, we have breaking news. Break right in, Jimmy.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So, remember, our own Mark Bertrand alluded to releases being put out by Alex Guerrero and Julian Edelman. So, this we have from Tommy Curran, Pat's Insider, NBC Sports Boston, from Alex Guerrero. I've known Julian since his rookie year, and he is a phenomenal athlete who takes his training seriously. It's disappointing to hear today's news. Elite athletes sometimes work with multiple coaches and health professionals as part of their training. Here at our facility, we take a natural, holistic, appropriate, and above all, legal approach to training and recovery for all of our clients. And anyone who would suggest otherwise is irresponsible and just plain wrong.
Okay, that's the extent of the whole statement from Alex Guerrero.
That is correct.
Okay, now for those of you who haven't heard earlier today, shortly after Tom Brady spoke with the media down at minicamp, Patriots minicamp in Foxborough, a news broke that Julian Edelman is facing a 4-game suspension for PED use. That was reported by Adam Schefter and what's his name? Field Yates of ESPN.
That is correct.
And Schefter also reported that Edelman appealed the decision, so the suspension is not final. Edelman is also expected to make a statement, so if that happens here in the next 30-35 minutes or so, we will provide you with that as well. But Murray, just to summarize, what Alex Guerrero said in his statement is that players work with multiple athletes and that the TB12 Institute and Alex Guerrero take a legal and holistic, is that the word they used?
That is correct.
Legal and holistic approach when it comes to training. Okay, so again, make of that what you will, but that is Alex Guerrero's statement in the wake of the Julian Edelman suspension story. Let's get back to your calls, and Mike, who is in New Bedford. Mike, go ahead. Mike, you there?
You know what, Maz? You are an absolute downer. The Sox having a great year. Sounds like I'm listening to Eeyore.
Okay, well, I appreciate the call. If you're going to yell at me, I'd prefer you do it in something other than a speakerphone. I'm just trying to point out the competition problem in the league. That's all. And again, the last two nights, I think the combined scores of those games, are last night was 7-1. Was the night before 6-0?
Yeah.
Is it 13-1 in this series?
Yeah.
And have the Red Sox ever really felt threatened in either one of these games?
No.
And also, let me point out, that's against Steven Wright and Eduardo Rodriguez, who are the end of the rotation. You haven't seen Sale. You haven't seen Price. You haven't seen Porcello, and I'm not dumping on the other guys. The other guys are good pitchers. I like Eduardo Rodriguez. I think he's got pretty good stuff. I'd like to see him throw something fewer than 100 pitches in five innings, but nonetheless, I like Rodriguez. He's always had good stuff. Whether or not he can harness it and learn to get outs quickly is another story. But he can win. He can win in the big leagues. But these games, there's just nothing, there is no doubt about them. And I don't know about you, but I watch games to see competition. And right now, there is none. Tucker is conquered. Tucker's in Concord. What do you got, Tucker?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. My take is essentially, it feels like, you know, Alex Cora just realized how bad the Tigers were after the first two games and maybe underestimated that coming in. And I understand some of the lineup decisions in that, you know, he's trying to cover his bases and get JD some time in the outfield, maybe rest Jackie, you know, get Swihart, who's been whining about playing time. He's trying to cover all these bases, but it seems like putting all of this into one game, especially when you have a young pitcher coming in, and on top of that, talk about how bad the American League is and how important it is for the top teams in the American League to just sort of clean up on these lower-end teams. It just doesn't seem so smart. I feel like you could cover these bases, you know, in multiple games. It doesn't all have to be in one game.
Yeah, so Tucker, I'm a little confused by it too. I mean, again, and the one that really confuses me as much as any is Swihart behind the plate. So we've all made noise about Swihart not catching. I know I have. They've said they want to catch Swihart. They clearly don't trust him behind the plate. So they put him out there with a rookie making his major league debut. That doesn't seem to make any sense to me whatsoever. So I look at that one and I say, well, okay, fine. Swihart has caught beaks in AAA. So nobody else can catch beaks? Like, he is so different as a pitcher that Christian Vasquez or Sandy Leon can't handle him? That's the logic? I would rather them have Swihart out there with Eduardo Rodriguez last night. And Rodriguez hardly qualifies as a veteran, but he's been around a few years. Or if not him, how about out there with David Price or Rick Porcello? Pick a veteran guy. A guy that can lead Swihart along a little bit if he has to. Sits down with him before the game. Here's how we're going to do it. That would make more sense to me. Beaks? Now look, Swihart knows beaks, I guess. Jimmy Stewart looked it up. He caught him four times last year. I said he probably caught him earlier this season. Silly me. Forgetting that Swihart's been on the big league roster all year. They can't send Swihart to the minor leagues. Like, he hasn't even been able to do that. He hasn't caught him since last year. So that one seems a little curious to me. I hope it goes well. More important, I want to see Swihart play more. I think Swihart can hit. And I think you're starting to see some evidence of that. But the idea of putting him behind the plate on a night where you have Sam Travis in left, J.D. Martinez in right, that feels to me like a disaster somewhere waiting to happen. Jim Murray's got your headlines, and then we are going to give you some insight on Jalen Beeks from somebody who has covered him this year down in Pawtucket. We'll do that next.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you are unfamiliar with tonight's starting pitcher for the Red Sox, Jalen Beeks, you have nothing to be ashamed of. Beeks was a 12th round draft pick in 2014. I looked it up the other day, 12th round. And his minor league career up until this season had been okay. I mean, he hadn't been awful. Last year at AA to start the year, in nine starts, he went 5-1 with a 2.19 ERA. Okay, now, again, that was his second year in AA. He spent a half season there in 2016. But I would say it wasn't really till the beginning of last year in AA that he started to sort of emerge. And in 49 and a third innings, he had 58 strikeouts last year. And then they bumped him up to Pawtucket, and he was pretty ordinary. I mean, okay, 6-7, 386. But after a promotion, it's not unusual for a guy to sort of, you know, tread water a little bit and figure it out, and then all of a sudden he gets good again. And this year at AAA, the record is only 3-3 in 10 starts, but his ERA is 2.56, and these are the numbers that should really pop out to you. In 56 and a third innings, Beeks has walked just 14 batters, which is really low. But beyond that, he has 80 strikeouts. 80 strikeouts and 14 walks and 56 and a third innings. And the batting average against him is 197. So we'll all get our first look at him tonight. But someone who has seen Jalen Beeks pitch here in the early part of the year is Brendan McGair, who writes for the Pawtucket Times and Woonsocket Call. From what I'm told, one of the few people who actually covers the Pawsox on a regular basis now. Apparently, that doesn't happen much anymore. So, Brendan, welcome to the program, and let me ask you about Beeks. Do you think he's for real? Do you think this guy's a real prospect?
Well, Tony, just seeing him throughout the course of this season, yes, I'm going to say he is real. The fastball ranges between 92 and 94 miles an hour, but also has the ability to play up a little bit, cross the plate a few ticks higher, because he has this deceptive arm motion. He holds the ball a little bit longer, and I think that's confused hitters. You mentioned his stats. The one that also jumps off the page to me is that he's holding IL hitters to 197 batting average against this season.
Okay, so look, the numbers are exceptional. There's no two ways about it, Brendan. It just, you know, this guy was not highly touted as a prospect in the system early on in his development. Again, 12th-round draft pick, and it feels like he is sort of popped out of the woodwork here a little bit. How is he getting all these strikeouts? If he's throwing, you know, 92 miles an hour, 94 miles an hour on the high side, how is he getting all these strikeouts?
I think the biggest difference between this year and opposed to the Jalen Beeks that I saw last year when he first came up to AAA is that he's trusting in himself more in the strike zone. He's learned to mix in all four pitches, the curveball and the changeup, playing off the fastball and the cutter. You mix all those pitches together, that allows you to get through the lineup three or four times, which you need in a starting pitcher.
Okay, and Brendan, what kind of guy is he? I mean, and when I say that, I mean, what's his makeup like? Do you think he's ready for a big league promotion? Can he handle the big leagues?
Absolutely. Low-key demeanor. You know, it doesn't seem to get too high or too low. I remember a couple of media members in Boston coming down this year to do stories on him, and he didn't flinch. You know, it wasn't like, you know, all of a sudden I'm getting this attention because my strikeout numbers are unbelievable. It's not like he's overwhelmed by the moment. I think the Red Sox maybe did him a good thing by telling him a couple days in advance instead of springing it on him the day before. Let him sink it, let it sink in, let it digest, and realize, okay, in 48 hours, I get to make my Major League debut.
Okay, again, we're speaking with Brendan McGair of the Pawtucket Times and Woonsocket Call, who's covered Jalen Beeks down at Pawtucket. Brendan, listen, thank you for the time.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. Again, Brendan, he's seen him pitch. Okay, he's seen him pitch. So, now, I can tell you that independent of what Brendan McGair says, I have heard that Beeks is not an overwhelming guy with velocity. So, someone like McGair says he throws 92, 94. I've heard it's actually more like 91, 93, or even 90, 92. We'll see tonight. He might be a little geeked up, so maybe there's a little more on the radar gun than there would be. But velocity is not how this guy gets people out. My understanding is that his cut fastball has really improved. He used to throw more of a true slider. Now he throws a cut fastball that has really been his out pitch. That's the one to watch for tonight. Okay, now I think he throws four pitches. I think he throws, in addition to a cutter, he also throws a more traditional breaking ball and also throws a changeup. Okay, now how many of those he'll use in a game, I don't know. Also, he has switched more from, and not to bog you down with too many details, but in lieu of a two-seam fastball, he throws more of a four-seamer now, a little bit more up in the zone, a little bit more velocity, challenges hitters. Okay, there's deception in his delivery, which you should know, and I'm told he has good makeup, competitive guy. So, can a guy like that make it in the big leagues and be an effective contributor? I don't know. We'll get our first look at him tonight, and remember, it's the Detroit Tigers. Okay, he's not going up against the Yankees or the Astros. So from that standpoint, I actually give the Red Sox credit. Give this kid a soft landing. He's pitching at home. Now, it's a short trip for him from Pawtucket. They told him days ago, and in fact, over the weekend, Alex Cora told the reporters in Houston, Red Sox reporters in Houston, that Blake Swihart was going to catch a game this week. Some were speculating and theorizing that that was going to be with Steven Wright on Monday night. It wasn't, okay, or Tuesday night, rather. Instead, it's going to be with Beeks, which makes, you know, some sense given that they know one another. So there's a familiarity with Swihart from Beeks' standpoint that should work on some level to help him out. I still think a veteran catcher would have been the better way to go. But nonetheless, we'll see what the kids got a little bit tonight, and then we'll go from there. We'll get back to your calls now. Bert, who's in Connecticut? Bert, let me try that again. Bert is in Connecticut. Bert, what do you got?
Hey, Bert. Hey, Mass, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, two quick points, if you'll let me. First of all, I understand. I couldn't agree with you more. If there's only four or five, if you want to throw Seattle in, six good teams in the American League. But that being said, outside of Cleveland, who else have the Yankees played that the Red Sox haven't?
Houston.
Make it sound like
the Red Sox haven't. So, look, I'm just telling you that I know the Yankees played Houston seven times and beat them five.
Right, and we could do the same thing because we got two of them.
Okay, I'm just – the Yankees all have right, already done it. The Red Sox haven't.
But the Yankees beat Cleveland. We understand that. The Sox didn't take them yet. So nobody's playing anybody good teams. I understand you're saying that. But the big problem, which people – you're trying to get over, and I hope you do, is all three of those teams need – either a starter or a reliever, okay? And when it comes to July, the Astros could get one with their farm system. The Yankees could get one with their farm system. What are the Red Sox going to do? So let's talk about the big problem, which you started talking about last night, and I could not agree with you more, and that's Dombrowski.
Okay, so Bert, listen, and I'm glad you brought this up. Those other teams have more artillery to get good players than you do. So if there's a good player on the market, and the Astros are going to be in the market for bullpen help. So if it's you and the Astros for a good reliever, Houston's going to get them. They have more to trade than you do. And if it's a starter, the Yankees are going to get them because they have more to trade than you do. So the Red Sox don't have a lot to trade. And maybe on some level, that's where Beeks' value comes in tonight. Frankly, if Beeks can pitch, I'm not sure I want the Red Sox to trade him. Now look, he's a tricky one because he's a 12th round pick. And if his value is high now and you can get something for him, well, then fine, you move him. You move him. But if he can pitch, then I think you're better off holding on to him. Remember that Drew Pomeranz is a free agent at the end of the year. You have nothing else in your minor league system. Maybe you can trade Steven Wright. Maybe you can trade Brian Johnson. Eduardo Rodriguez has some injury history. Who knows? Maybe David Price opts out. Probably not, but maybe he does. The point is, if you have a young pitcher in your system that can help you for the next 5 or 6 years, and he's any good, I keep him. If I'm the Red Sox, I don't trade away Jalen Beeks. Now, the competition problem in the league, you're right. The schedule's every bit as weak for the Yankees and the Astros as it is for you. Really more the Yankees because they play the same number of division games that you do. And again, Baltimore, Toronto, and Tampa all stink. So that's 57 games right there that those two teams, Boston and New York, are going to play against horrible competition. But who has more to prove, the Yankees or the Red Sox? Because the Yankees made it to Game 7 of the LCS last year. And they got there early. I think the Yankees are legit. They were knocking on the door of the World Series last year. Houston won it. The Red Sox have been bouncing the first round 2 years in a row. So if there's going to be any team that we can look at and say it's hard to judge them because of the schedule, I just think the Red Sox fall into that class more than the Yankees or Houston do. Both of those teams have had success in the postseason. Certainly more than the Red Sox have had. They've both at least won a postseason series. And the Yankees only lost in the LCS because they lost to Houston. So to me, there's a difference there. Neil is in Braintree. Go ahead, Neil.
Yeah, hi. This team reminds me a lot of the 2016 Red Sox in the sense like, they have a really strong offense, but like I feel like the pitching isn't as reliable. And my concern is that when we get to the playoffs, is that our offense is going to be there because I don't have as much concern about that. But our pitching is just going to like completely like pitch us out of the game, and it's going to be horrible, especially with Price's history, Pomeranz's, who gave up the Cole Crisp home run against the Indians 2 years ago, and then Sale just hasn't done anything. I was wondering what you thought about it.
Okay, so Neil, honestly, I think they all have something to prove in the playoffs. I'm not telling you I have more confidence in one or the other. The starting pitching has been a disaster the last 2 years in the postseason. David Price has been a disaster as a starter. Sale wasn't good last year as a starter. Pomeranz wasn't good as a starter. So go right down the line. They need better starting pitching in the postseason. It starts there. Beyond that, can they hit in the playoffs? I don't know. I feel like there are guys in this lineup that can be pitched to. J.D. Martinez changes things. He does. So we'll see how that shakes out with Martinez in the playoffs. But I just look at the whole lot, and I say 1-6 the last two postseasons. And the Cleveland series, the Red Sox got swept. In the Houston series, they got mauled in the first two games, and they lost in four. The Yankees pushed the Astros to 7, and they won Game 6 in Houston to do it. So, you know, to me, there's a little bit more of an element there, again, of some track record with the Yankees and the Astros in the playoffs, at least more so than the Red Sox.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.